Blog Talk Radio.
Sound Elf Option Show with Richard Talk to Me Guy, and Sherry Edwards is handling some grandchildren stuff, and maybe joining us in just a little bit. I don't really have any announcements other than I find the world an amazing and stunning place, and I think our guest today is the perfect person to help us turn that frown upside down. I can't believe I said that, but I couldn't help it. I will go right into it. We won't be having, for those of us that are new to the show, if you go to soundhealthoptions.com, click on the radio tab, and then click on the Blog Talk Radio tab, that will show you the call-in number for Blog Talk Radio, which is 347-850-1407, and you can also go to that same page and look on the right-hand side, and you'll see the phone number there and a link to join Blog Talk Radio. There will not be a WebEx feed today, so it'll be the audio from Blog Talk Radio and the chat over there. And I think I will just bring Jonathan. I'll introduce Jonathan and bring him right in, because, as I say, I think in this time, it's a perfect, you know, vector of, boy, is this going to come in handy as the political scene increases. Jonathan Robinson is one of the world's leading experts on happiness and how to get there. A psychotherapist, best-selling author of 10 books, and a professional speaker who consistently presents to Fortune 500 companies, he has reached more than 100 million people around the world with his practical methods. Robinson has made numerous appearances on such shows as Oprah, CNN, and the leading morning shows. He's also been featured in Newsweek, USA Today, and the Los Angeles Times. He has spent more than 40 years studying the most practical and powerful methods for achieving a state of personal life satisfaction and happiness. Jonathan joins us today to talk about his latest book, The Technology of Joy. This culmination of Robinson's personal experiments with a vast number of apps, gadgets, tools, and supplements seeking the very best happiness hacks. Good morning, Jonathan.
Well, good morning.
It is really
good to be here.
I'm delighted to have you here. Truly, if we do nothing else in this show but give us tools to, you know, try and bring joy into this just stunning pile of political madness that's mm-hmm. going from all sides, I think, you know. And you have it's an amazing collection. I'm a fan of what you've spent your many years studying. And I'm a big fan of much of the technology and the supplements, and I think it's an amazing resource for people. I'll say right out of the gate after reviewing the book that I think it's an amazing resource for people to have at their fingertips to be able to look at what you've looked at, your information and commentary or thoughts on what you've looked at, all in one location, because it is it's a pile of great information.
Thank you.
You bet. What was your life journey that created such a passion for seeking joy?
Well, I was fortunate to grow up in an incredibly dysfunctional family. So I say fortunate because by age 11, I was already looking for ways to feel better because I was pretty depressed. There was a lot of violence in my family. So by 12, I was into hypnosis and meditation. By 13, I was doing yoga. I was just seeking any self-help or thing that you could do that might help me get out of being depressed in a very disharmonious environment. And eventually about 95% of that stuff is crap and doesn't work. But every now and then I'd find something that worked, and I'm kind of lazy. So I specialized in methods that worked really well that took under 2 minutes a day. And just by coincidence, that was something that a lot of people were interested in. So when I started writing books like that, I got on Oprah a bunch of times, and eventually that translated to how technology can help us to be happier and have more peace and deeper relationships. And the good thing about technology is it improves really rapidly. You know, your smartphone is as powerful as a supercomputer was 20 years ago. So it went from something the size of a building that cost $20 million to something the size of your pocket that costs, you know, $200 in 20 years. And there's all these great apps and gadgets and supplements now that are already really, really good that most people don't know about. And they're getting better, like, by the day. So when I tell people about them and when I hook people up to them, they're just wowed because, you know, they're like crack cocaine but healthy for you.
That's excuse me. See, you have me laughing already. Well, that was what I was. I have a further. I want to dive deeper into that, but I really have to say that from my view, after reviewing the book, that really I would suggest to everybody that what a great place to start before you go to. This is in my opinion. This is one of those opinion things. What a great place to start. Your book is, or the links that you have online for Happy Today, or, you know, other things that we'll, I have in the show notes that we'll talk about. What a great place to start before you go to a doctor. Try some of these things. See if you can't shift your, I know I should be saving this for the end, but I'm so enthusiastic I can't help it. Start here. You know, get an app. Try any of the number of things you talk about. Look at the nootropics. Look at the cognitive enhancements. Look at the, you know, herbs that enhance, or the biofeedback. Or like you say, the things that we have in our pocket, I think I heard somebody say that I researched, that the, you know, what we have in our pocket is our smartphones today has more power than the first computer that sent the Apollo mission to the moon.
Yeah.
It's really stunning what we have available to us walking around on a daily basis.
And you probably know this, that a large part of health is how good you feel. You know, the American Medical Association, not exactly the most liberal organization in the world, they have said that 90% of disease is stress-related. So if you can figure out how to be relaxed in life, and a lot of these gadgets and apps are amazingly good at that, then you probably won't get 90% of the sicknesses that you might have normally gotten.
Yeah. And I know as a I practiced as an herbalist for many years. I got my degree as a master herbalist in the 70s. And I remember now as I was reading your book that part of the reason that I got into herbs is I was looking for mood enhancement myself. I had my own curious raised by wolves parenting and lifestyle. And so it was a similar thing. I was looking for herbs in those days. I was researching things like ginkgo and, you know, thyme and various herbs that were mood or cognitive enhancers. And so it's been a lifestyle for me since then. And I just think, why not start here before you start taking drugs that we really don't know that much about, really, truly? They pretend they do, but I mean the long-term effect of a messing with your serotonin reuptake or your, you know, your levels. Let's start here. I think it's, you know, I think it's the way to go.
Absolutely.
I want to ask you right out of the gate about your two forms. You have two ideas about a different usage of the acronym WMDs. Could you talk to us about your two forms of the WMDs? I love that.
Sure. Well, you know, so far technology has created what I call WMDs, but in this case, WMDs stand for widgets of mass distraction. And, you know, whether it be smartphones or other things, we are very distracted and we're not really as connected with each other or ourselves as we need to be. And technology first tends to do that. you know, the average person watches 4.5 hours of TV a day. And I watch none, which means that some guy in Iowa has to watch 9 hours for me. You know, so that's a lot of distraction. But nowadays, the technology is getting good enough that we can create a new type of WMD, which I would call wonders of mass delight. For example, a machine that puts out the vibrations of a enlightened spiritual guru and makes you feel ecstatic just by sitting in the room. That's a nice little gizmo to have. Or I have a chair in my office that induces deep, very profound meditative experiences just by sitting in it. Or there's supplements that keep getting better and better that can increase your IQ temporarily by 38%. Or there's ways to tap into feeling a sense of flow or peace by listening to certain sounds. So these technologies get less expensive and better pretty much every year now, and that's accelerating. So I'm looking forward to the time when we can get off the antidepressants and anti-anxiety drugs and of other pills and take something that actually nourishes us from deep within that also makes us feel incredibly good.
Yeah. Wow. I love that idea. I think that's a wonderful idea. I want to start at the first section of the book. Let's talk about supplements, and I highlighted some of the chapters. Tell us about some of your favorite of the, I love this chapter title, Colossal Cognitive Enhancers. Okay, sign me up. I'm ready. What are some of your favorite colossal cognitive enhancers?
Well, the reason why this isn't a thing that everybody in America knows about is because there's like 25 different cognitive enhancers. And they keep getting better. The problem with them is that different ones work for different people. So you really have to try 5 or 6 of them to know which one will rock your world. What my wife uses and swears by and says has changed her life just makes me feel a little bit nauseous. The one that works for me doesn't work for her. So I mentioned in the book, like, websites where you can go where you can get like a 2-day sample of 10 different ones. So you try them and you find the ones that fit with your brain. And once you do, you have, you know, like coffee is a cognitive enhancer. And it's the most popular drug in the world. Problem with coffee is if you drink it every day, soon it has almost zero effect. You get tolerance to it. But if you have a couple of different things that you do, then you never build up a tolerance. So I use 3 different cognitive enhancers, and they're all more effective than coffee. Coffee gives you energy, but it doesn't really give you focus. It usually doesn't make you feel joyous, where some of the best cognitive enhancers do that. A couple that I recommend based on maybe the 1,000 people I've surveyed and what they like is there's something called alpha GPC choline. And everybody agrees that's good for you. 90% of people say that they had a positive experience with it. 10% of people said they didn't feel anything. That's one. There's one called sulbutiamine, which is a B1 vitamin that crosses the blood-brain barrier. Once again, everybody says this is like really good for you. And for me, it gives me like 5 hours of total focus plus a feeling of joy for 10 cents. Now, that's a pretty good deal. You know, when I found this out, I was like, you know, a religious person trying to convert the world. And about 50% of people report really positive effects with that one. But you do have to try out a bunch of them, see which one works for you. Once you have it, you have a friend for life.
Well, and And one of the great things about, you know, like you talk about the sulbutamine, boy, I wish they had a different name, B1,
uh-huh.
is that since B1 is a water-soluble vitamin, it seems to me that the worst thing that's going to happen is you're going to have really expensive urine.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, and it's probably not that expensive.
Ten cent urine, yeah.
Yeah, 10 cent urine. Okay, so it's 10 cent urine. It's up a dime. So that's an amazing thing. And to actually experiment with things, for me, I'm a big fan of something not quite as colossal, but a definite enhancer and an ally of mine for a number of years has been paracetam. Now, I know people
uh-huh.
that take paracetam and are sort of like, it's not enough. For me, it's not a buzz necessarily, but it really does bring me into a good zone. I take it not every day, but, you know, on a different pattern. I alternate, as you say, alternating I find to be a really powerful thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like paracetam. It's just a nice, steady, for me it works. I've had other people who've tried it who like it a lot, and some people who kind of go, it's not enough. Whereas I know others, some of the hardcore crowd, who are using things like modafinil. Now, it's harder
right.
to get, and it's a prescription drug. But I know people that swear by it, and in terms of helping them write their doctoral theses or being hyper-focused and fully energized for a period of time, that's really positive. And again, you know, you buy something and you try it, and it either works for you or it doesn't. And what a great thing. We actually begin to work with our own bodies. What a shocking
yeah.
concept.
Yeah. Modafinil is hardcore stuff. There's something called adrafinil, which is non-prescription. You can get on the internet or in health food stores that turns to modafinil in your body once you take it. And it's about 1/20th the cost. And no prescription. So
nice. Okay.
I mentioned a lot of different things, and, you know, like paracetam that you take, that was kind of the cutting edge thing 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Most people who try the new stuff find that it's about 5 times as good. So you'd have to find the right combination, and it is a moving target. Just like your smartphone gets better every year, these cognitive enhancers are getting better every year. So I encourage people, even if they checked it out 5 years ago, that they go back to it. And what I tried to do in the Technology of Joy book was give the latest information of combinations that people really find really great. And something you might consider is taking alpha-GPC choline with your paracetam that tends to turbocharge it.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That's great. And as you say, I try not to take the same thing every day, because at some point I think the body is going to adapt or have a tolerance or
mm-hmm.
just I
mm-hmm.
think it's a good idea to mix things up. So I like to alternate with other things. And I do, a friend gave me some modafinil, and I take it occasionally. It's a little too much for me, but there are times
mm-hmm.
when I want to read a book and I want to be hyper-focused on that's all I'm doing is that. Then the modafinil is very nice. You know, it's very, I wouldn't want to do it on a regular basis because it seems a little buzzy for me.
Yeah. You might try half or a quarter of a pill.
Yeah.
Okay. Dosage is really important. And I'll about once every 2 weeks take a quarter modafinil, and I'm very focused for 12 hours.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, trying a small uh-huh. dose every once in a while. That's a great idea. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Let's jump to talking about, I love this chapter, another chapter title, Tweaking Your Neurotransmitters.
Uh-huh.
Talk to us about some great supplements for tweaking our neurotransmitters.
Well, the important thing is to know that neurotransmitters can get out of line. And what the SSRIs or antidepressants do is they try to do that. But they do it without knowing how your neurotransmitters might be out of line. So it's like a one-size-fits-all. And they're very not effective for most people. 93% of people supposedly have no better results than a placebo in the antidepressants that they're using. So for about $250, I mentioned in the book, you can actually get a printout now of all your neurotransmitters and what range they are in, whether they're too much or too little. And based on that information, you can take supplements that directly get that neurotransmitter in line. So rather than using a sledgehammer for brain surgery, you're using a scalpel. And that a lot of people who their antidepressants didn't work or they just felt in a funk for a long time, when they got this test and balanced out their neurotransmitters, they felt tremendously better. And, you know, it wasn't like they were having a midlife crisis. It was that their brain was out of balance.
Well, and that's, I don't know that because I was so fascinated by much of the technology and the supplementation. Do you talk about people coming back from being on, you know, prescribed, not that you're anti-drug, we don't want to say that directly,
mm-hmm.
But, you know, are there parts in here for people who want to taper off of their SSRIs or their, you know, whatever that is, that family of drugs and help come back, help exactly what you say, rebalance those neurotransmitters that have been, like, kicked in the head repeatedly for the years that they were taking a mood elevator prescribed by their doctor?
Yeah. Well, you know, getting off of antidepressants is something one has to do with one's doctor because it's not an easy process. You really have to taper off over a period of time. But for people who are interested in getting off, there's several proven technologies that are much more effective than antidepressants for helping people with depression. And unfortunately, they don't have a $12 billion a year advertising budget. Take the technology known as exercise. 3 minutes jumping up and down per day has been proven to be more effective than antidepressants in curing depression. You know, so antidepressants don't work. I mean, antidepressants do work really well for about 7% of people. So if you're one of those people, make sure you stay on them. But for the other 93%, they're not that effective. And exercise helps. There's a lot of gadgets in the book that, for example, an app that leads guided meditations to help you overcome bad feelings. Those cost a dollar. There's a website called Happify that gives you all these exercises that have been shown to help. There are audio soundscapes that balance out or change the brain waves of your brain to be more in line with what happy people experience. So there's a lot of great things out there. The reason I wrote the book is because most people don't know about them, and they don't know what's the good stuff versus the bad stuff because there's so much out there. So, you know, the subtitle of the book is the 101 Best Apps, Gadgets, Tools, and Supplements for Feeling More Delight. Because there's like 10,000 things out there, but a lot of them are crap, but some of them are really incredibly effective and very inexpensive, and more important to me, they take less than a minute a day of effort.
That's really something you really, I think in such a great way, talk a lot about is that it's not like you're talking about that you have to go out and do aerobics for an hour every day. Or you have to go on a, you know, 5K. You're really, you refer to yourself as lazy, but I think really it seems so efficient to be able to, you know, if you find a cognitive enhancement or something that you can take, a supplement or an herb or an amino acid that'll help elevate you and, you know, combine that with other things that have long-term beneficial effect like tonic herbs or something, that seems so much better a direction. Or jump, like you say, jumping up and down for 15 minutes, 10 minutes? What did you say?
3 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know, like having a rebounder and bounce on that for, let's push the envelope and say 5 minutes. Wow, a whole
really?
5 minutes on the rebounder.
Right.
Oh, my God. That you'd feel better. It's a shocking idea, but nobody can, you know, from the other side of my mantra, one of my mantras is follow the money. And the trick
right.
is that nobody can figure out how to prescribe it or control it or, you know, make you pay $100 for it. Well, I mean, the rebounders
right.
cost you something, but there's no way to, like, monetize big pharma by, you know, prescribing that. So we have to have something we control and mark our initials on.
Yeah,
so that's
but
another,
lack
that's
of...
Go ahead.
Well, lack of information can be dangerous because In this case, your lack of information can lead you to being depressed or unhealthy, or certainly not aware of what I call the technology of joy, the ways that to feel good that really work. You know, in American culture, what I call the American culture, we're taught that the way to happiness, we're taught two ways, but the main way is to try to control all the people, events, and situations in your life to be the way you want, then you'll be happy. That's why money is so important. But no matter what's going on, or even if you're Bill Gates, you can't control that much. So the better way to be happy and joyous is to find it within yourself. Now, spirituality and religion is partly about that, but a lot of those methods are 5,000 years old or 2,000 years old. There's now better methods to tap into peace, love, and joy within, but they don't have an advertising budget like you said. So you have to find them out and you have to try them out. And when you do, then you kind of become religious, like, oh, you haven't tried this supplement, it's the greatest thing in the world. Or you haven't tried, you know, this, I have a thing called a neurostimulator called the Think, you know, and it wasn't cheap. It was about $250, but it increases your endorphin levels by 500% in 5 minutes. And that's nice. You know, you can run 10 miles or you can put on the Think and just sit there and you get the same experience. So there's a lot of really good stuff coming out, and I'm like a mad scientist. I like to try it out and see what works and what doesn't.
Well, I think what amazes me, I want to get back to microdosing, but what amazes me about the technology, as you say, now that we have these, you know, Apollo launching, you know, more powerful than the Apollo launching computer in our pocket, is how rapidly the technology evolves because the nerds have gotten into it. And so they're in there, and they're, I mean, this is what they do. They make apps. They create software. They make websites. They think about a lot of stuff, which will be our cue back to microdosing in a minute.
Okay.
And so I think that's why we're seeing so much exciting stuff happening through phones, because this is a device that they work with every day or in that realm, and they want to alter their consciousness. And so that there, you know, just the speed at which I see from 5 years ago to today, what's available for your phone, where you can attach things and, you know, to your phone and have glasses with blinking lights and sounds and neurostimulating and electrical stim on your ear clips and, you know, all that kind of stuff out of your phone is like mind-boggling. You know, you buy an app for heart rate variability from a couple of different companies. You put the clips on and go into an altered state, a positive consciousness changing altered state. I mean, the power of what is in our pocket or on your computer is really stunning, and it's so exciting. I mean, it really is exciting.
Yeah, it is. And the best of those technologies are like training wheels, meaning they teach you how to get to higher states of consciousness by giving you moment by moment feedback as when you're moving towards or away, so that you don't need to keep wearing the gizmo once you know how to get there on your own. So they're very good at, you know, I've meditated at least an hour a day for 40 years, but a lot of times now I see people can learn how to get to higher meditative states much more quickly with these gizmos because they get instantaneous feedback.
Well, yeah,
I have an interesting story. Go on.
Yes, please. No, go ahead.
I have an interesting story about the pace of the technological change that I think you'll like. In 1972, I had the unusual experience of being in a computer class. I was a freshman in high school, and there was a guy in that class named Steve who was really pushy and a little bit of a jerk, and we were always vying for the computer, which our school had just bought. It was about the size of a refrigerator. And it basically played tic-tac-toe and a couple other games. You could program it to do those, like three different games. And he and I were always vying for the computer. He was older than me. And one day I asked this guy named Steve, Now, Steve ended up being a guy named Steve Jobs. We went to the same high school.
Wow.
At the time, he was Steve, the asshole who's always trying to get on the computer.
Yeah.
And, in fact, that was his name that we called, Steve the Asshole. You know, so I talked to Steve, and I said, why are you so obsessed with this machine? And he looked at me like I had just said the stupidest thing in the world. And he said, don't you see it? This machine is going to change everything. It's going to totally transform the world. Well, no, I didn't see it. I didn't see that this 500-pound refrigerator that played tic-tac-toe was going to change the world. But Steve could see the future, and that future is now in your pocket in the form of a smartphone and everything that we got going. And the same thing is happening with what could be called this transformational technology. Right now, there's some really good stuff that most people don't know about. But in 5 years, there's going to be some ridiculously good stuff. And it's going to be cheaper and smaller, and everybody's going to use it because you can't live now really without a computer. You know, you can't be in American society fully without a computer. And it's going to get that way that unless you're taking cognitive enhancers or unless you're relaxing through some of these gizmos, you just won't be able to compete because you're using a less effective technology.
Yeah. And I wanted to, I'll add this comment in now because it fits right in with relaxation, is that when I was practicing as an herbalist and working with people, I observed way back then that if somebody was a stress bag, that was not an actual, you know, written down thing, but I mean, if they were if they were stressed out, I could see that it took them a much longer time to get better if they were doing a particular protocol. Whereas if you found if you found somebody who was in a more relaxed state and had a lifestyle that allowed them to be more relaxed or, you know, or just meditated or had something, back then we didn't have any technology. I mean, we had biofeedback, but again, you were hooked up to a big machine that looked like a central computer, and oh my God, it was scary. It was like something out of, you know, one of those weird movies. And so if people were in a more able to get into a more relaxed state, that they would heal much faster, or the body would recorrect and allow itself to heal itself much more readily. So I think that this the two worlds will, I hope, meld together with between what you're talking about in your book, is that really you can't have, I mean, you can have healing without stress reduction, but you have such a massive improvement in healing of whatever kind by reducing the stress load.
Yeah,
it's just massive.
When I started meditating, my mom didn't like it, so she didn't let me meditate in the house. And I was like 14 at the time, and I said to her, you know, Mom, someday meditation is going to be so common that even your doctor will tell you to meditate. Well, about 4 years ago, my mom calls me up. She's 82. And she said, guess what happened today? I said, what? She said, I went to my doctor. I said, oh, good. How are things? She said, well, I have high blood pressure. I said, I'm sorry to hear that. And she said, but he told me that I need to learn to meditate. So it took 40 years, but eventually the doctors and the science came around and said, yeah, this is the way to go.
Sometimes it's a tricky thing being on the leading edge. You have to wait a long time for people to come around. I want to jump back to, and then we'll move on to the technology. This new, what I call a new wave, particularly in the tech industry, which was kind of surprising until you begin to really, you know, about tech. Your chapter about microdosing your way to nirvana. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about that a bit?
Yeah, my undergraduate work had to do with the therapeutic effects of LSD. And obviously this was a controversial drug. But the way people were taking LSD in the 60s was they were taking massive amounts of it. You know, and then you kind of melt into the floor, and you know, you have a good experience or not. But what happened over time is that people realized, well, just because a lot makes you feel a certain way. What happens if you take a little? And a lot of athletes found that they could perform their skills better if they took a small amount of LSD. In fact, even Olympic athletes were going on record saying, I got my gold medal by taking a small amount of LSD. So a word got out that, you know, you could take a very, very small amount. We're talking about 1/15 or so of a normal dose. And it just kind of makes everything a little bit better. You feel a little bit happier. You feel a little bit more connected to people. You feel a little bit more peaceful. And as you know, because we both live in the Bay Area by San Francisco, a lot of the tech industry is now doing that because they find that they work better doing that. And not just microdosing LSD, you can microdose marijuana, you can microdose other drugs. And people are realizing that the dosage of a drug has a really big effect on what it does. And you could have a normal day, in fact, be more connected, do better work sometimes by taking small amounts of drugs. And that's a whole new area for people, and one that, I suggest that people, of course, do it conservatively, and that drug is illegal, but it is very popular now in this new form.
Yeah, I was really surprised when I talked to some people in the tech industry, and at first it was sort of a, you know, hushed, whispered kind of like, oh, you know, so Bob tried this and really had great results, especially, you know, and oddly enough, I did, as I like to call it, a past life. I was a technical writer for a DOS-based company. That's how old I am.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, so from there to now, to have coders, the people who write the actual programs, those people that write in that code that looks like it's streaming across a screen and nobody ever knows what it means, it's quite popular for them to be microdosing. I'm not saying everybody
uh-huh.
is, but I'm saying they really like it because it enhances their groove, their vision, because coders think very differently. And
mm-hmm.
they sort of get that riff on what direction they're going, and then it's like a musician who sits down and does it. Not everybody, but I've known a lot of coders like that. And with
yeah.
the microdosing, they seem to really get that, like, enhances that flow. And they're not high. It's not, as you said, it's a little tiny amount, whatever is perfect for the person. But yet it's not like they're tripping. They're just
yeah.
using it to help get those synapses to all fire in a direction that is popular. And I just think that, you know, when you think about the classic nerd, you don't think of somebody who's taking any kind of, like, you know, they might be living on Jolt and Red Bull, which is a whole different direction with downside.
Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
versus this microdosing, I just think it was like, wow, when that started to become a public thing, that was amazing to me and in such a positive
yeah.
way.
Yeah, you know, I really encourage people to invest in themselves, invest in their own joy, because what the culture has taught us to be joyful, you know, whether it be a movie or money or whatever, you know, that works to some extent, but there's now all these different colors, all these different flavors to experience joy that didn't even exist 10 years ago. And once you find one that works for you, you know, I made a list recently of my top 10 favorite ways to experience joy and happiness. And I realized that 8 of them, most people have never experienced. You know, these are the most precious things in the world to me. You know, number 7 was sex. Most people know that one. You know, they know that's, yeah, that good sex is really a fun thing. but you know, 1 through 6, most people hadn't even heard of. And they, for me, are much better than sex. So there's a lot out there. And I encourage people to take a little bit of time, energy, and money and try stuff out. And that's why the book can be useful, is because I tried to put the best of the new stuff in one place and then give my honest reviews of it, like how much it costs, what the downside is, what the upside is, what it does for you. You know, does it enhance your relationship? Does it give your life more meaning? Does it just bring you more pleasure? Because there's different types of pleasure, and our mission, should we decide to accept it, is to figure out what really brings us to a place of love and peace more easily, because only when you feel good can you do your best work and be the most giving to the world.
A shocking concept.
Yeah, yeah.
Be kind, have joy. Look what happens. It's an amazing thing. Now let's move into the tech tools. Talk about playing with your brain waves. Because I think that is so wonderful.
There's lots of ways to alter your brain waves. You know, normally there's alpha, beta, theta, delta. And you know, how do you go from, say, beta, which is our normal brain wave in daily life, to something more euphoric or relaxed, which might be like theta? Well, there's CDs or apps you can get that will play sounds that move your brain waves, and those are very cheap and very effective. There's also machines you can wear on your head that will give you moment-by-moment feedback as to when you're moving towards a certain brainwave state so that you can learn how to do it on your own. And then there's other gizmos that can put in very, very small amounts of electricity into your brain that have been proven to actually make you smarter and learn quicker and alter your brainwaves. So there's several ways of doing this now that didn't even exist 5 years ago or were prohibitively expensive. And I like to have control of my brainwaves, you know, because if you can slow down your brainwaves, you can get into whether it be a romantic mood or a creative mood or a meditative place much more quickly.
Which is all so powerful. To be able to, as you say, actually, let me jump ever so slightly and talk about, I want to hear your opinion about heart rate variability or the HeartMath research. Because they take a slightly different approach of it, but it still is so, like for your mom, it seems like HRV would be a very powerful thing because it's a wonderful way to, even if you use the small box, I forget what that's called, that you clip to your ear and just listen to the tone and watch the lights, it's such a simple way to alter your headspace and feel smoother and more at ease and relaxed. And once you're there, again, your stress levels go down, people's blood pressure goes down, they feel more at ease, you come out refreshed. That technology is amazing to me.
Yeah, I like HeartMath stuff because it's very simple. They have some good apps. One called Inner Balance, and it's relatively inexpensive. It costs about $80 now to get the ear clip that teaches you how to get to a place that they call heart coherence. And heart coherence is what it feels like is very clear-minded and very focused on caring. So it's a very nice mental state, and it can train you how to get there rather quickly. Now, without the feedback, you're kind of grasping in the dark. What do I do? But with moment-to-moment feedback, it usually takes a person an hour or two to get pretty good at. And once you know how to do it, you don't need the technology anymore. So they have a really great system and some great tools. You know, for example, example of a tool that they suggest is just think of special times you've had with a person or pet or young child and remember those special caring times. Imagine feeling or holding that person or pet in a way that helps you feel connected. Well, if you do that for about 30 seconds, your level of care and emotions of gratitude and connection go way up. And that's a very healthy thing for you. It reduces your stress hormone levels. And with practice, you can get better and better at that. So you can go from literally very stressed out to blissed out in 60 seconds.
Wow. I'll have to, it makes me want to dig my, you know, ear clip device out and, you know, so that when I'm watching anything about politics, I can have it clipped and keep my, enhance my calm.
Right, right.
That'd be an interesting experiment to see if you could actually maintain HRV while watching a political debate with politicians whose name I will not utter. But yeah,
well, you know, I have a picture I'm on my altar of a picture of Jesus, a picture of Buddha, and a picture of one of the people running for president, who I won't mention.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I feel my heart opening towards Jesus. I feel my heart opening towards Buddha. And then I look at this other person, and I get to see how far I have to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's not
That's very witty.
and we'll sometimes use these methods with that person, because the idea is that you love everybody, not that you just love lovable people.
Right.
And I think of it as a practice, and I'm grateful that that, you know, some people are a real gymnasium of trying to not close down your heart. They make it tough. They're a good practice session.
That's, you really have turned the joy, the frown upside down. That's very good. That's an excellent challenge. That's like a decathlon, and I'm not even an athlete that way. That's really
well. You do it slowly but surely. You make slow but sure progress.
That's wonderful. I think this is a great moment, even though we're going to talk about tech. This is such the perfect moment for you to tell us your story about traveling to India and having the Swami give you his magical mantra.
Okay. So, you know, in the 90s, I interviewed a lot of well-known gurus, asking them what's the best way to connect with happiness or God. And a lot of these people, to my surprise, said that gratitude is really the best method. And so when a friend of mine told me that he had just gone back, got to India, and a guru had gave him a magical mantra to help him feel overwhelming gratitude. Well, so I wanted to know what this mantra was, and he wouldn't tell me. So I traveled to India. Have you ever been to India?
No, I have not.
Yeah, it's a really hard place to get to and travel in. So, you know, it's 18,000 miles away. I get there, and, you know, you take a rickshaw for 3 hours. It's 118 degrees, and there's no air conditioning. And it's, you know, I'm jet-lagged and worn out. I finally get to the ashram, and I have to wait in line 4 hours to meet the guru. Finally, I get a chance to talk to him, and I say, you know, I travel all the way from America to find out what this magical mantra is that you have for helping people feel overwhelming gratitude. Well, he says in his deep Indian accent, "Ah, yes, my mantra is the most powerful mantra on earth." And then he leans in to whisper in my ear. I'm very excited. And he says, "Whenever possible, repeat the following words. The mantra I give you are the words, thank you." I look at him. I thought he was kidding. And he wasn't kidding. I said, "That's it? I traveled 18,000 miles to get the word thank you? That's it?" And he looks at me and he says, "That's it is the mantra you have been using. That makes you feel like you never have enough. My mantra is thank you, not that's it. That's it will take you nowhere." So I'm very pissed off and disappointed. I look at him, I say, "Oh, and thank you." And he looks at me and says, "No, thank you is not the mantra. You must say it many times a day from your heart. So when you eat good food, say thank you. When you see your child or the sunset or your pet, from your heart, say thank you, and soon you will be filled with overwhelming gratitude." Well, I'm still pissed off and disappointed, but I figured I traveled all this way, I'd do what he said, so I said thank you and left the ashram. I got into a taxi that had air conditioning, and I thought, "Oh, thank you for air conditioning. You know, when it's hot, air conditioning is really nice." And then I get to my hotel, and there's a clean bottle of water. I say, "Oh, thank you for this clean water." You know, in India, clean water is hard to find. And then there's a Western toilet in my room. Thank you for a Western toilet, because the other toilets aren't that great. And then I open up my computer. I say, thank you for this computer. And then I Skype to my wife. I say, thank you for Skype. And then thank you to my wife. Well, within about half an hour, I have tears of gratitude going down my face, because you and I live better than billionaires lived 10 years ago. You know, we have better access to healthcare and entertainment and travel. But if you don't have a way of tapping into your feeling of gratitude, it all goes by unnoticed. So his mantra really does work. And now I have an app on my phone that randomly goes off and says, now is the time to give thanks. And it helps remind you to keep this mantra going.
See, and that's a powerful app, those reminders, because we can get caught up in the day with the WMDs and
yeah.
Everything being, with every push notification turned on, I mean, all day long, it's happening. So what a great, you know, other kind of WMD to have that app remind us, oh, yeah, this is an opportunity to have thanks.
Yeah, and, you know, each time you do it, it takes 5 seconds to feel your heart and give thanks to a higher power or yourself and say, thank you. You know, people listening now are hopefully getting useful information. It's free to them. You know, thank you for this. They're not having to do anything. And life has a lot of stuff like that, that if you feel your gratitude towards it, it really changes your world.
It's amazing. It really is so powerful. I'm going to jump slightly because I see we're coming around the bend. We can go a little long, but we're coming around the bend. I knew it would happen, that I want to jump to psychological techniques. And there's a chapter here that says three good sorry. The number one happiness booster. Well, all right, I'm lazy. Let's cut right to that. What is the number one happiness booster?
Well, you know, they studied this because they want to know what it is, and they were very surprised with what it was. You know, they measure, if you want to boost your own happiness level the highest amount in the shortest period of time, what is it? And, you know, at first they thought, like, giving people money, free money, that wasn't it, you know, or giving people a massage or something like that. Ends up the number one happiness booster was you doing an act of kindness for a stranger or friend.
Wow.
I love that.
I love that.
So, you know, if you want to boost your own happiness level, think of something kind to do or something kind to say to a stranger or friend. It'll make them happier, but just as important, it'll make you happier. That's kind of a low-tech way of boosting your own happiness level.
The two amazing takeaways are thank you and be generous, be kind.
Uh-huh.
Amazing. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
See, I'm already laughing. Even though I'm still thinking about that guy on your... that last guy on your altar, I can laugh now. So that's really good. That's a powerful
right.
shift.
Right.
Let's talk about... there's another chapter in here in this same techniques chapter about the spiritual intimacy experience. Does happiness
uh-huh.
affect... what is the effect and how does this affect our spiritual intimacy?
I'm not sure what the question is. Say that again.
Well, there's a chapter in here. Talk to us about the spiritual intimacy experience, I guess is how I'll phrase it.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's basically a list of questions that when people ask it of each other tends to lead to a deep feeling of connection and love. And so they're very specific questions that lead to more and more intimacy. If you look at the word intimacy, it kind of has the instructions in it, into me see. And in an age where, you know, everybody has 500 Facebook friends, but really 500 Facebook friends does not equal one really good friend. So we want to focus on depth, not quantity. And the spiritual intimacy experience is something you can do in half an hour with a friend or even a stranger. And at the end of it, you'll feel deeply, deeply connected to that person. I think those types of things, those reliable ways to feel deep connection with people, whether it be an app or a series of questions, are really useful in this day and age because a lot of us feel lonely and we feel like we're skimming the surface of life rather than getting to the deeper love and peace that we really, really want.
I agree. Now we're going to jump. We're going to do a little bit of jumping toward the end of your book. You have a chapter about the last, close to the last chapter. You have the technology of joy. In the technology of joy, is the how to find if a technology is your friend. Can you talk about that? Since some people are a little technology phobic.
Well, the book is really a simple way of doing that. It gives you a quick overview of the 100 best, you know, methods, in my opinion. But some methods can be addictive. You know, a little bit of alcohol works for a lot of people, but a certain percentage of the population does not react well to alcohol. They should stay away from it. So I say that that's true even of technology. Like, I have this neurostimulator that makes me feel really good. I use it about once a week. It's great. My wife found that she was getting addicted to it. Like, she wanted to use it every day. And I thought, maybe that's not a good thing if you're, like, really, you know, where's the neurostimulator, you know? That's probably not a good sign. So you have to evaluate what it is you want. And then, is the technology you're using helping you to do that? Or is it just another way to avoid your feelings or avoid your problems? So there's no easy answers, but what I tried to do in that chapter is provide questions so that people could evaluate. That's the same with any other technology. Is TV your friend? Is coffee your friend? You know, for me, coffee works great. I have about one cup a week. I had a friend that was drinking 22 cups a day, and it was not his friend. So you have to evaluate for yourself whether something is moving you towards the type of person you want to be.
So once again, you actually have to pay attention to yourself in a certain, you actually have to pay attention on how you're feeling and what's going on and looking inside. It's a radical.
Yeah, and being honest with yourself.
Oh, wait, no, fly with the play. Now you've gone too far.
All right.
Be honest with yourself. That's amazing. What do you think the future of hacking happiness will look like? Do you think it'll be some derivation of THX 1138, but with a much happier ending? or, you know, what do you think it's going to look like? Can we even envision that at this time?
Well, the technology will eventually get good enough that you can experience any emotional state you want whenever you want. That's the far future. There'll be the whole range. There'll be good stuff. There'll be bad stuff. You know, like TV. There's violent, horrible movies, and there's great educational stuff. It'll all be out there. But it'll transform the world because our ways of feeling good now. I mean, people actually spend $200 a day to go to Disneyland and travel across the world so that they can stand in line for an hour, so that they can then have a two-minute joyful experience. That's the cutting edge of joy at this point, which is horrible. Not that I mind Disneyland, but, you know, you're spending basically $1,000 and 100 hours to have 2 minutes of joy. Much better if you could have that same amount of joy by just tapping a button on your smartphone. Some people might choose that one instead. And that's really what the future is going to have. And we're already at a place where those things exist, just most people don't know about them. So the future of joy is that you'll have more choice of what you want to experience. You'll have lots of internal experiences, and they won't be as harmful for you as some of the dangerous drugs that are currently out there.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And I have a broader question for you. I'm wondering if you have a higher agenda of moving so many people to joy. And what I mean is, do you feel that joy is a foundation for change?
I do.
Or evolution?
You know, Gandhi said, be the change you want to see in the world. So unless people tap into deeper feelings of love, peace, and joy, I don't believe you'll have more world peace. You can't have 7 billion people who are angry, frustrated, and pissed off and create world peace. It just doesn't work that way. But when you feel good, you tend to do good. So I think of it as like a holy purpose. Your first job in the world is to tap into the love and peace within. Then you can help others. You can't give people what you don't have. So I think as these technologies get better and more people experience deeper love, peace, and gratitude, that good things will happen in the world.
That's excellent. That's really good. We're moving now to the close. I have so many other questions, but we haven't even gotten into Orgonite or any of that kind of thing. That's a whole nother show. Those are great. Those are fascinating technologies. How do do you work with people directly, or are you at a point now where it's book and seminars, and do you do seminars and classes?
Yeah, I do seminars and classes. I'm flying to Minneapolis tomorrow and be doing some. And I do, you know, one or two a month, various places. But people can get on my mailing list and find out about them by going to findinghappiness.com. And they can contact me through there or get on my mailing list, and I let people know when I'm going to be in the area. And also, if they go to findinghappiness.com, they can buy the book, or they can get free audio downloads of my favorite happiness methods.
Yeah, you do have an amazing, you know, a wonderful array of, I've put all these in the show notes for people at Blog Talk Radio. This will all be in the show notes at Blog Talk Radio. You have these wonderful series of, you know, videos that people can go at from sad to glad to see an example of how you can change your attitude, change your space, and really, you know, feel happier, which is, and as they say in this day and age, is an amazing concept. Oh, feel happier. Wow.
Well, luckily, due to Oprah, I don't really even have to charge people for my stuff nowadays. I like to let people know about stuff, and so it's either free or very low cost, and I like to turn people on to the joy within.
That is so exciting. I mean, that's so, you know, even though you have a lot of information about, you know, technologies, whether they be supplementations or nootropics or mood elevators or devices or instruments or practices or all sorts of things, it really is, as you say, about discovering that joy within. You know, you can't pass it on until you have it.
Yeah.
And that's a great thing is, you know, start with yourself and work out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's always sort of been my attitude, is even though I sound like a cranky guy when I'm on radio, I really do have it as my idea of, you know, that's how it works. You get yourself feeling that, and then you can go out there and pass it around. You can't, like, beat others into doing it. Rah, 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 rah. That just doesn't work. So
I tried that. It didn't work very well, yeah.
Yeah, you can be like that for a long time, and then you go, no, that's so not working. That's so not working.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that was really great. Thank you so much, Jonathan. That was I knew it was going to be a fast show because you have so much great information. Once again, to everybody, I cannot recommend his book highly enough. I will put that link in the show notes. It's just an amazing compendium of great tips, tricks, supplements that could help, you know, just move it that direction, and a really sterling attitude. Do you have any closing thoughts for people or ideas besides have joy?
Think of it as that's part of your mission in life, is to find your joy, you know, and so it's your responsibility. That's what you're put on earth to do, and put a certain amount of time, energy, and money into it, and that investment will pay off big.
That's fabulous. Thank you so much, Jonathan. This has been wonderful. And everybody have a great rest of the weekend, and we will see you on Tuesday. Thanks again, Jonathan.
Thank you very much.